Inside of your bulletin is a sheet that says Ministry of God's Word. If you'll please take that out and stand for the reading of God's holy word. This is a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 5 through 20. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now, you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Father, I pray that we will be silent when we need to be silent, and we will speak when we need to speak. I pray, Lord, that our faith will be growing daily, and that we will not remain the same, and that we will grow in our faith because of your holy word that is hidden in our hearts. May we, your people, hide your word in our hearts and in our minds. May you, Lord, be foremost in our thoughts at all times. Bless us, your people, today. Open our ears. Cause us, Lord, to hear the message that you have for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A mother was making supper one evening in the kitchen, and her 5-year-old son was in the kitchen with her, helping her at times. And so she said, "Johnny, go into the pantry," and this was one of those walk-in pantries, you open a door and you walk in, "go into the pantry and get me a can of tomato soup." He said, but it's dark in there, Mommy, it's dark in there." "Oh, don't you know that Jesus is with you?" He said, "Okay." So he opened the door of the pantry, and sure enough, it was as dark as can be. And an idea came to him, and he said, "Jesus, if you're in there, can you hand me a can of soup?" We, as children, have a lot of fears, don't we? How many of you, when you were tiny, well, you don't have to raise your hand, but afraid of the dark, right? Afraid of the dark? How many of you are still afraid of the dark? Remember, you'd be afraid maybe something was in your closet when you were little, or under your bed, those kinds of things. Or how about some of these? Acrophobia. Anybody have acrophobia? Fear of heights. I don't like heights, and they don't like me. Then there's leucophobia. Anybody have leucophobia? You'd never guess what this is. A fear of the color white. Then there's chromatophobia. I bet nobody has this fear. I would be willing to say that no one has this fear. Who has this fear? Who's afraid of money? If you're afraid of money, give it to me. I'll make sure that you're not afraid of it. Then there's melissophobia. And it does not mean that we're afraid of Melissa. You'd never guess what it means. Fear of bees. Fear of bees. Then there is dentophobia. And probably some of you who might be close to my age had some of that because they were really tough back then. Those dentists, oh my goodness, they were horrible. Then there's stygophobia. Anybody have this fear? I do. Well, I used to. Let's say I used to have this fear. I used to have this fear. I don't have this fear anymore. But if you have this fear, I would advise you to speak to Pastor Stephen after the service. Stygophobia. Tom, could you do me a favor? Could you push that little thing a little forward, that little front? Yes, thank you. So those are just some of the fears that people may have, and I'm sure there are many, many, many more. Here this morning, God has a Christmas message. We know this. We've heard this so many times. You would take this sheet, turn it over, and hopefully you'll take some notes this morning. And later on the week, as I say every week, later on the week, take this out again. Get these things in your heart. Get them in your heart. Zechariah, he was a priest at that time. And he and Elizabeth had been praying for a long time that they would have a child. And she was barren. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. 1 Chronicles 24 tells us the priesthood was divided into 24 courses. Each course had 1,000 priests. Every 6 months, they had to serve in the temple. And so there were 1,000 priests in each course, 24,000 priests. And every 6 months, they would have to serve in the temple. And it just so happened that they would draw lots to see which one was going to serve. And at that particular time, it was Zechariah's turn to serve in the temple. And he was at the altar of incense. You know where the altar of incense is located or was located in the temple? Right in front of the curtain, the veil, the curtain that separates the holy place from the holy of holies. Right in front where sacrifices were made. Every morning and every evening, priests would have the altar incense and worship was going up constantly. Constantly, all the time. And what happens? The angel Gabriel appears to him. He says, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." And can you imagine? Can you imagine what that might have been like? I know that probably someone like Bob would have just kept on going. He wouldn't have been afraid at all. "Oh, hi. How are you today?" "Oh, yeah, sure. Wonderful." We all would have been just probably exactly like Zechariah was. This is significant for three reasons. First, the people had not heard from God for over 400 years. They had not heard from God for over 400 years. The last time they heard from God was from the prophet Malachi. Last time they heard from God was from the prophet Malachi. And this is what Malachi said back then. concerning this. Malachi chapter 4, starting at verse 5. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their father. And of course, if you know your scriptures, this has a double meaning. One to John the Baptist and also to a future date yet to come. Both of those. Both to John the Baptist and a future date. Second, this is an answer to Malachi's prophecy. Because Zechariah means Yahweh remembers. Yahweh remembers. By the way, Yahweh is God's name. That is God's name. Only, it really would be YHWH. Elizabeth means promise of Elohim, which is one of the Hebrew words for God. And you put that together, and what you have, God remembers his promises. God remembers his promises, and he did. And he did. Third, God is faithful. Do you know that? Do you know that God is faithful? He is faithful even when we're not. Even when we're not, he is faithful. Think, how many times might you or me or any of us, we should have done this for God and we didn't, but still, he still receives and accepts us anyway. Gabriel said, your prayer has been heard. But in the Greek, this is really what it means in the Greek. That prayer which you no longer offer has been heard. How much like us, isn't it? That's why I said God is faithful even when we're not. God is faithful even when we're not. That prayer which you no longer are praying, you gave up. You gave up praying. You prayed it for a long time. You prayed it for an awful long time, but you stopped. But God is still faithful anyway. Anyway. In verse 12, Zacharias says, he was gripped with fear. He was gripped with fear. And as a result, Zacharias says, give me a sign. Give me a sign. And so there are two parts to that. Gabriel says, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I've come here to give you a message. The name Gabriel means soldier of God. He's a soldier of God. Second, here's a second sign. How would you like this one? The second sign was that Zechariah would not be able to speak until the birth of John. Whew. Wow. God is faithful even when we're not. Even when we're not. Can you imagine if God did that to us when we did not trust him? And he is so faithful, he does not typically do those things. I can't imagine what that would have been like. Can you imagine how frightened he would have been? How afraid he would have been? Him coming up. What's the matter? Zechariah, what's wrong? Fear always displaces God. Fear always displaces God. Instead of God being at the center of our lives, when we're afraid, fear replaces God. We elevate fear to a higher status than God. When we have more thoughts of fear than we do of God, without us saying it, fear takes a greater place in us than God. We don't say it, but we kind of go, God, move over, and fear is here, and it's here, and in a sense, it controls us. It controls us. Fear is a dark room in which we develop our negatives. We get very negative. We think the worst. We think the worst is going to happen. We're concerned and worried to the point that that's all that we can think about. In some cases, it gets so bad, it's like we're a house. And fear takes up residence in our house and begins to boss us around because fear is in charge of us, the house. You remember Nikita? How many of you remember Nikita Khrushchev? A lot. Not as many as I thought. All of you must be very young people. Let me see the hands again. How many of you remember Nikita Khrushchev? Oh, that's better. That's better. Remember, he was the one who said, "We will bury you." He was the premier of the Soviet Union from 1958 to 1964. One day he was giving a speech, and he was criticizing Joseph Stalin and how really, really tough Stalin was, how many people, how many Russians Joseph Stalin killed. A heckler in the back said, "Why didn't you do something about it?" And Khrushchev said, "Who said that? Who said that?" Nobody said anything. The heckler didn't say anything, and Khrushchev then said, "Now you know why I didn't do anything about it." Because he would have been killed by Stalin himself, and that heckler would have been in trouble if he spoke. Now you know. Now you know. That's fear. That's what fear can do. Fear does that to us. Fear silences us. It paralyzes us. What am I saying? Am I saying that I'm never afraid? No. No, I'm not saying that. But I know what it's like to have fear. All of us know what it's like to have fear. All of us. All of us do. Remember the story of how the Grinch stole Christmas? And he was going to steal all of the presents of Christmas. He wanted to destroy Christmas. And on Christmas morning, he thought that he had ruined Christmas. And on Christmas morning, he heard Christmas carols being sung, all kinds of sounds of happiness. He discovered that he had not stolen Christmas at all. There's a Grinch out there. There's a Grinch that wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your happiness. He wants to put fear constantly in here all the time. I know people like that. I know people that they don't seem to be happy unless they're not happy, but it seems like they don't really not happy unless they're really so worried about something that has such a control of them. That kind of fear is not good. It is not good at all. Fear not is the message of Christmas. That's the message of Christmas. Fear not. I'm trying to grow in that. I hope we all grow in that. Fear not. God can displace fear within us. One of the reasons that he came was to do away with fear. Do you know there are 366 fear nots in the Bible? One for every day of the year, one left over for leap year. One fear not every day of the year. I'm sure somebody did write a little, one of those little booklets, fear not, every single one that's in the Bible. And every day you read one. Well, we should do that. I bet we'd make a lot of money. Fear not. Four times in the birth narratives, we're told, don't be afraid. Four times. Four times we're told, don't be afraid. First time, these are just the Christmas narratives, the birth narratives. What would be read during Christmas? The angel appeared to Joseph. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. What should I do? Mary's pregnant. What should I do with that? Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. I'm sure he was deeply troubled till that. Then, of course, there's Zechariah, Luke 1, that we're taking a look at briefly today. Then Gabriel appeared to Mary. Don't be afraid, Mary. Fear not. You have found favor with God. You have found grace with God. You have found grace with God. In the last birth narrative, angel appeared to the shepherds. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. I bring you good news. The lesson today from this simple story is fear not. God has come. Jesus has come to do away with our fears. I said this last week, and I say it every so often. I think when we really think about it, I don't know how we can think that we have eternal life, because that seems so much harder to me for all eternity, that we would have eternal life forever and ever, but yet every day's problems, we don't trust him. But I think the greater amount of faith we need is for eternity, to believe that we have eternal life through all eternity. I think that's where we need the greatest amount of faith. But yet, every day, life is a struggle, and it is a struggle for us. Until we come to believe, not just that Jesus died for our sins. I'm his son, and no matter what happens, I know that he's guiding me. I know that he's with me. I know that he is Emmanuel. I know he's God with us. And I believe that with all of my heart. I'm not happy with what's going on. I don't know what is planned. I don't know what the purpose of this is. But I know there's something, Lord. There's something there for me. Hopefully I can find out what it is. Fear not. Fear not. Emmanuel, God is with you. He is not caught off guard. He is never surprised. He's not caught off guard when something bad happens. I am. I'm caught off guard. You are. You're caught off guard. But he never is. The meaning of Emmanuel is exactly that. Only we have to get it from here to here. From here to here. You know, I remember the story many, many years ago. I didn't plan on saying this. It just popped into my head. James Dobson talking to his son Ryan. And you don't hear Dr. James Dobson on the radio too much anymore. He used to be on every single day, Focus on the Family. And he told the story to his son Ryan. He said, "You know, Ryan, someday you're going to hear that I have passed on. I don't want you to worry about me. I don't want you to be thinking, but I want you to be there. No matter what, I want you to be there." Anyone know that his son would be up there with him? That's what it's all about, isn't it? We're, as the old timers used to use, we're pilgrims. The old timers used to talk about that aspect. We're just pilgrims. We're just passing through. We're passing through this maze of life. Zechariah and Elizabeth are a lot like us in that we can identify with their fears. We don't have the same fear that they have, but we have fears nonetheless. Remember this song? You know this one. "God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay." What are your dismays today? What are your dismays? What dismays do you have? What are they? Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. What comes next? Yes! Yes! See, you know it. You know it. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. We're talking about, that song is about us with our fears and being dismayed in life. And the message, really, O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Fear not. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do not fear. In other words, fear not. Fear not. Now, I've taken each of those. Look at this. It says, fear not. Why? Because I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you. Each of those. Each comes from. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. I am talking with someone quite often who is really, really, really sick and has a young person that has cancer. And the fear that comes and all of that that comes with it. But yet, some of you have been there. Some of you have been there. In a way, he does strengthen you. He does. He does strengthen you. But usually it takes us to a place where, wow, what's going on? What is this? What's this all about? And usually, you know what it takes? Let go a little bit more. You know how we hold on tightly to life? We hold on. We want to be in control. We want to control everything about us. And usually, okay, all right, whatever you want. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. I think I've told you, I didn't want to become a pastor. I wanted to teach in a seminary because I love to teach. And I didn't have peace until I wrestled with that for a couple of years. Okay, I'll become a pastor. It's amazing how much peace I got after I said that. There's a story of a 10-year-old boy who every night, the only way to get home was to walk through the woods. It was very dark, very gloomy, very, very scary. So one adult thought it'd help him, gave him a little charm. He said, this little charm will protect you. Another adult gave him a flashlight. Take the flashlight and you can shine it. This will really, really help you. Then another one said, don't you know that fear is a sin? That's a good help, isn't it? That'll always help, huh? You're scared already, and then someone tells you, don't you know that fear is a sin? Then one more adult came up to him and said, you know what? I know what it is to be afraid. I know what it is to have fear like that. I will walk with you every night. He didn't remove the fear, but he took the fear from the little boy and put it on his shoulders. Do you know that's what Jesus does? We like to hold on to it. We like to keep on holding on. But Jesus said, fear not. Fear not. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And we will call him Emmanuel. In Matthew again, it's repeated. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. And shall bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now take a look at this with all the lights, Tom. Take a look at this. Thank you.
From high above us, God sees. From far beyond us, God hears. From his eternal distant home, God loves. He sees all people in all places. And it's easy for us to imagine that he does so from this perspective. High, beyond, distant. But then, Christmas. It appears without earthly fanfare or celebration. The cry of this child screams that the same God who is above and beyond and distant has not only come close to us, but that he's indeed with us. So what if the name Emmanuel means what it means? Today, now, with us, the manger proclaims that the very presence of God is now present with us. In the mundane, in the uncertainty, in the mystery that lies beyond our understanding or explanation, God himself is with us in our joy and our happiness. He's with us in our sadness and our brokenness. He celebrates in the light with us, and he holds us in the dark with faithful and secure arms. What if the name Emmanuel means what it means? Christmas not only begs that we ask that question, but also provides the answer that our hearts have been longing for all along. Can this possibly be? Yes, it can. And it is God with us, Emmanuel, and he's closer than our wildest dreams can ever imagine.
Oh, come, Emmanuel.
What if the name Emmanuel really means what it means? What if we really were able to get it from here? What if we were really able to do that and get it here? How much difference would that make in the way we lived our life? That is the meaning. It does mean that God with us. It means that. That's the story. That's it. God is with every Christian. That doesn't mean that everything is perfect, because it'll never be perfect here. It'll never be perfect. But part of our going through this maze, part of it, and a great part of it, is for us to keep on growing in our faith and trusting him, that he knows what he's doing. We don't know what we're doing most of the time or a lot of the time, but he does. And part of it is, we have to trust that his name means what it means. Have you do something silly? Say, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. Again, ready? Emmanuel, God with us. Now, say silently to yourself, silently, Emmanuel, God with me. No, you're not. Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Know you not that your body is the naos, which is not just a whole temple structure, it's the Holy of Holies. Know you not that your body is the naos? Wow. Musicians. Only we as individuals can take that principle and turn it from a concept into a major truth that we live. Until we make it a part of our life, it remains a mental concept. May we take it from being just a concept to being an absolute truth that we live. The elders will be up here to pray for you for any need that you may have. Pastor Stephen will be down here to my right, to your left. If anyone has never received Christ as their Savior. If you don't know what that means, I'd like to tell you. Perhaps you think that God has scales and you think you're going to be good enough and your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. God does not operate like that. And I'd love to tell you how you can be in with God forever and ever and ever. Choir, we will be practicing in there. And take a look at, every so often, I will be sending you a message because there's so many things going on this next couple weeks. And may God bless all of you this week. With all of the hurriedness and craziness, may God bless all of you. And I mean that with all of my heart. Stay calm. Stay content. That was last week's message. Content. Be content. See, we're adding each week something new. Be content. This week, fear not, because God is with me. Steve, will you dismiss us, please?
Dear Father, we thank you. We thank you that you sent your Son and that we truly, the name Emmanuel means God with us, Lord. We thank you for being with us at all times, even when we don't realize it, Lord. We thank you for loving us, Lord, despite ourselves. I ask that you watch over everyone here, Lord. Bless them. Let them have a unique awareness of your presence, Lord. Let us draw closer to you. Let us love you more, Lord. We thank you for this time together, Lord, and ask a blessing on everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.